Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. The object of this program these days is to go through the scripture, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. So that's exactly what we're doing. We are in the book of Psalms, and last time we ended up in Psalm 32, so I'm going to jump right in there. A Psalm of David, Mashil, and the word which means, let's see, we look at it here, didactic poem, instructive. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom Yahuwah imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Reminds me of Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, because their sins are forgiven. But most of the world out there, they don't seek forgiveness of sin. Most of them plan to stand on their own righteousness. One of their favorite phrases, which I've probably heard hundreds, if not a thousand times, is that I'm a good man, and meaning that God's not going to let me go to hell. But they don't rely on the blood of the Lamb. So their sins are not, their transgression is not forgiven, and their sin is not covered unless they give their lives to the Lamb of God, to his Redeemer. So he says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord, Yahuwah, by name, the Creator, imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. And if there is no guile in us, it is because he imputes his righteousness to us, and we willingly learn obedience from him. Then every sin, every transgression that we have ever committed will be covered by his blood. That's the promise. Verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. I'm wondering, is this sounds like... Well, this is pretty close to where I left off then. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Yahuwah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And he calls all men everywhere to repentance. That is to confess our sins to him. It is only through the confession of our sins, or repentance, and that is to God, not to any man. Now, going into a booth once a week or once a month or however often you feel like you need to do it, and telling some man your sins, but then going out and sinning again, is not going to do you any good at all. Or to rely on that man for forgiveness of sins is not going to do you any good at all, because there is only one who can forgive sins. You can read it in your scripture. That was one of the accusations brought against the Messiah himself, that only God can forgive sins. Well, yes, so he forgave sins because he was God in the flesh. So it's to him and to him alone that we need to go for forgiveness of sins. And when we acknowledge our sin, he writes his law upon our heart. Because what we're doing when we acknowledge our sin, we acknowledge his law. So how do you jibe that with the laws nailed to the cross? If every time you confess your sins, you're acknowledging the law of God. It doesn't work. If the law is dead, if it's nailed to the cross, we don't have to worry about it anymore. Well, then there's nothing to forgive, is there? So he calls all men everywhere to repent. And that means to change your mind about those things that you were doing, your transgression, your sin, and acknowledge his law, that it is holy and just and good, that we need to bring our life into conformity with his law and his word so that we can live a life that is pleasing to him because we love him. Continue. Verse 5 of chapter 32. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. So what does the psalmist say? He says, when it's easy, when you can work out your salvation, that's when you call on him. Because in the time of the flood, in the time of great turmoil or whatever disaster may fall upon you, he says, you shall not come nigh unto him. You need to come nigh to him now. Most people will wait until some disaster, until some terrible thing comes into their life, and then they will call on him, and then they will blame him when he is not near. But they had no regard for him when it was easy, when things were good. They didn't care. So he says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, the untrained, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in Yahuwah, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and of course the Creator by name, Yahuwah, and rejoice, be righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Chapter 33 and verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise Yahuwah with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of Yahuwah is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And of course, Yahuwah by name. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear Yahuwah. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Yes, and all of the inhabitants of the world will stand in awe of him. One day, for every knee will bow. They may not stand in awe today, but they will, and most of them will fall before him. And for most it will be too late. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Yahuwah bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. And there's the difference. Yes, the heathen, those that make devices that will come to none effect, they may work for a while. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. But that's their test. If they can get away with a little something, it reveals who they are. So they continue in their folly. And that's really, to a great measure, what this life is all about and what this mortal existence is all about. It's to try everyone to see what sort of man or woman you are. And you see what sort of man or woman you are by the decisions you make and then the decisions you continue to make. Because some men make terrible decisions and then they repent and they change their ways. But most men make terrible decisions and they cover them up or justify them or continue to profit by the suffering and the abuse of others. So they prosper for a little while. But the counsel of the Lord, and of course our Creator by name, Yahuwah, the counsel of Yahuwah standeth forever. He brings the counsel of the heathen and all those who are ungodly to nothing. So he makes the devices of them of none effect, because they will have no effect in eternity. The only effect their devices will have is to condemn them for the choices that they've made. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. So his counsel stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahuwah. The psalmist, of course, writing at a time, and he was the king that was chosen for Israel, of course, with a government that was second best, a government of kings, where the people said, we want a king like the other nations. Of course, David being the second king, the one chosen by the Creator, but still not the first choice of government for the people of Israel. But he says, blessed is the nation whose God is Yahuwah. Is there such a nation today? Is there such a nation today? Well, there is such a nation today. But the nation today whose people is Yahuwah, or the Lord, as it's written in the authorized King James Version, they don't have a landmass they can call their own, because the whole earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So they dwell over all the earth. There's a remnant in every nation that has him as their God. So blessed is the nation. Are you part of that nation? It's a holy nation. It's set apart for him. It's not part of the world. They don't incorporate with the world. They don't agree to follow the policies of the world, because they live by the word of God, because they're part of his nation. And his nation has a king. He is the King of Heaven, and he is also the King of Kings. So it's a holy nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahuwah, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. You know, I just pray, I want to be one of those people that he's chosen. Scripture also says, many are called, but few are chosen. And why are few chosen? Well, simply because few answer the call. Most of them are too busy. Or they might answer the call, but, you know, after a while they might get persecuted, or they may have to give up this or that convenience, or they may want to make this compromise so that they don't have to lose whatever it was they had in the past. They may get tempted or something, but you can read the parable of the sower. You can learn all about that. The people he has chosen for his own inheritance. Of course, perhaps in context, you know, David is thinking about Israel, his people, his nation. But when I read this, I think about the nation that is here now on the earth. And also that nation is also composed of David and Adam and Eve and everyone who lived by faith, who chose to live a life of obedience to their Creator, looking forward to the promised Redeemer and the promised redemption of their bodies and the resurrection of the dead. That is the holy nation. That is the nation set apart. That is the blessed nation whose God is Yahuwah, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. I want to be part of that nation, part of that people. So I will endure to the end. As the scripture says, I will work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Chapter 33 and verse 13. The Lord, of course, the creator by name, Yahuwah, looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He sees you. You may hide from him, but he sees you. The only thing that you're hiding is him from yourself. You're blinding yourself from him because he sees you. He knows you. He knows where you are. And this life for you, your mortal existence, that grace period that he gave you to choose life or death, to choose his plan for redemption or to pay the price for your own sins. Because you love your sins, you will pay the price for them. But if you love him more than you love your sins, then the blood of his only begotten Son will cover your sins. You get to choose. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. And of course, the point being here is that we don't look to things. We don't look to horses or armies or guns for salvation. The king is not saved by a multitude. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. And of course, speaking of an army, when the using the word horse here, because they had horses and chariots and their armies. Behold, the eye of Yahuwah, the Lord, is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death. See, that's the point. Doesn't matter what happens in this life, because we know that all things work together for our good. Regardless, he delivers our soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for Yahuwah. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Is your hope in him? Then his mercy is upon you accordingly. That's the end of chapter 33. We're into chapter 34 now. And as a note for anyone listening to this program for the first time or recent listeners to the program, hearing the word of our Heavenly Father, the word of God, and being moved to continue listening, perhaps being fed with this bread of heaven, invite you to dine with us on the word of our Heavenly Father. Also, if you have internet access, which maybe a good number of you are listening on the internet, I know there are some listening by FM radio out there or satellite, and I welcome you all. If you have internet access, I bid you to go to e-sword.net and download the Bible program there. When you download the Bible program at e-sword.net, e-sword.net, you will get the authorized King James Version Bible with keyed with the Greek and Hebrew, a Strong's numbering system. And invaluable study tool. Before this one became available on the internet, free, I purchased Bible study software programs going back into the early 1990s when they became available. I used one called Quick Verse. I think that was the last one I used, and I perhaps tried another one or several more out. And this one is more powerful than any of those that I paid for. Of course, they do take donations, so if you feel led to give there, I suggest that you do that. But do download that program, and then when I say something like, "Oh, magnify Yahuwah," and it says the Lord in the authorized King James Version, and I say the Creator by name, you'll realize that in the original text, the name of the Creator was not omitted. It was only omitted in the translation and replaced with a phrase, the Lord. We'll be back after this break and we'll continue our study in the Psalms. Don't go anywhere.